Intercession. Intercession is done when standing in the gap or pleading another's case before God. Intercession comes from two Latin words, inter, which means between, and sedere, which means to go. Intercession means to be between God and another person in prayer. Just like it was the priest's function to go to God on behalf of the people, it is your function to go to others, to go to God on behalf of others.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Altar of Incense, Part 2, from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Altar of Incense.
At this time, if you are able, I would ask that you stand for the reading of the Word of God. We've been reading the same passage every week and probably will continue to do so until we finish this series in a couple weeks. But at the conclusion of reading this passage, I want to point us to a passage in the New Testament also. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not go into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the tent. When the cloud rose from the tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over all the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud, so all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. And as we look at the New Testament, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple or the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Thank you. You may be seated. We are continuing the message from last week, so there'll be no notes passed out today because we will pretty much be reviewing the information on the altar of incense. Again, for a quick review, but you have that, so most of that information was there. Our message today is centering around intercession. And today we are specifically talking about intercessory prayer. And you know what? When you think about intercessory prayer, and you know, we talk about the glory of the Lord filling this place. Just think if we, and when I get done today, you are going to totally understand the concept of intercession. I mean, you're going to have a total understanding on intercession and what that means. But just think that if when we gather together on Sunday, that if we are all intercessors, just think how the power of God will fill this place. The power of intercession. All we need do is to think back to this past fall, and it was a Monday night football. Everybody was excited about this game between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, and how everybody was fired up because these were two good teams, and this was going to be a showdown. And we all remember what happened to the young man, Damar Hamlin, that he made a tackle and he went to stand up and he passed out right there on the field. Now, previously, there have been discussions in our country. One coach wanted to pray with his team, you know, and it was not forced. It was all voluntary. And he actually lost his job because he was trying to lead a time of prayer. But we see on that night, grown men that could bench press 600, 700 pounds, that could run a 4.3 40, that these grown men began to feel powerless as they watched this young man lay there on the field. And something that had been forbidden for many other athletes to do on national TV, these men got down on their knees and began to pray. And what was that? That was intercession. That was intercession. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever prayed for a professional football player like I prayed for him. There was just something about that situation that grabbed our hearts. You know, I don't know if it was because it was national or, you know, because, you know, he had a lot of things that he was doing, some things right here in Pittsburgh, but it grabbed our hearts. And I know during our prayer times, at the hour of power or the prayer time, the Wednesday Bible study, you know, we would lift up this young man. And we saw God work. And so we saw the power of intercessory prayer. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to intercede. And you know what? The song said, you may not be able to preach like Paul. And you may not be able to sing like angels. But there's one thing that we can do according to the song, and that is tell the love of Jesus. But there's another thing that when it comes, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have any degree of finances. You don't have to have any social standing. There's one thing that when it comes to, we all come to the level ground. And nobody is higher than anybody else when it comes to this area of intercession. And the only reason that you might not be the intercessor that you need to be or you want to be is because you're not doing it. And so we want to challenge you this morning on intercessory prayer. So as we look at the tabernacle, remember, just for review, so hopefully when we leave this series, that everyone that has been here at some point during this series, that you understand now the layout of the tabernacle, that when they went through the gate, the first thing they saw was the brazen altar, right, where they offered the sacrifices. And then before they went into the holy place, there was the laver where the priest would wash. Then they would go into the holy place, and on the left-hand side was the golden candlestick. On the right-hand side was the table of showbread. And now we've come to this piece of furniture last week, and we continue to look at it today, and that's the altar of incense. The altar of incense. Now, there's a couple things that we said about the altar of incense that I just want to very quickly highlight, and again, you know, we did a, and if you got the notes, there was a detailed, in-depth teaching on the altar of incense as far as where it was located, dimensions, what it was made out of. So, you know, we put a lot of energy and effort into looking at that last week. But three things I want to say before we get into the message today. The first thing is incense was burned on the altar of incense. So that makes sense, that incense was burned on the altar of incense, right? And we saw last week where the Bible specifically says that incense represented the prayers of the saints, that when the incense arose, that it represented the prayers, and it was supposed to be a sweet, David said, let it be a sweet aroma in your nostrils. And then we saw that the high priest would go to the altar of incense. And on the Day of Atonement, that we're going to look, we talked a little bit about it this morning when we talked about the goats, right? The goats were offered up on the Day of Atonement. But another thing that would happen on the Day of Atonement is that the priest would take coals and incense from the altar of incense, and he would go back into the Holy of Holies. And so when we get to that, we're going to look at that a little bit more. So we see that incense represents the prayers, and that the priest went back with the incense to intercede for the people. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, there were two offices. Actually, there were three offices. There was the prophet, the priest, and the king. So if you go to that next slide, please. There was prophet, priest, and king. But when we look at the priest and we look at the prophet, we see that the priest went to God on behalf of the people, according to Hebrews 9:7, that once a year that the priest would go back into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people, and he would make intercession for the people. And then another office in the Old Testament was a prophet, and the prophet would hear from God and go to the people. So God had this thing all worked out, right? He had the priest who would go to God on behalf of the people, and he had the prophet who would go to the people on behalf of God. Now watch this. Watch this, right? Boom! The next slide, please. The believer is a type of priest who intercedes for people. Did you know that? Did you know that you are a priest? The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, you who are sitting here who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you also, a living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So there's many responsibilities that you have as a priest. You know, you offer up the praise of thanksgiving. You offer up your life. You offer up your offerings, you know, as a priest, that you make sacrifices. But there's one thing in specific that you do as a priest, and that is you intercede. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, it says that God has made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. See, I think that we have gotten the idea of what a priest is. You know, we look at earthly concepts, and I think that we've kind of skewed the concept and the definition a little bit, because we think of a priest, as one who wears a collar and, you know, wears black and, you know, sits in a little booth and, you know, you confess your sins to. But there's a greater priest than that, and that's you. That you are a priest. And one of the things, when I saw this week, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, I'm so excited about the message, right? That when I saw this week, man, I almost jumped out of my chair in my study. And that is, and we're gonna look at it in detail a little bit later. But you have access. Like the priest did, only one time a year, you have access to God on a continual basis. You can go into the Holy of Holies whenever you want to as a priest, and you can intercede for others. Intercession. I done gave most of my message away there. I was trying to save that. I was trying to save that nugget, but that was so good. I'm going to, you know, what does somebody say? Sounds so nice, I'm going to say it twice. So you're going to hear it again. Right. Intercession. Intercession is done when standing in the gap or pleading another's case before God. Intercession comes from two Latin words, inter, which means between, and sedere, which means to go. Intercession means to be between God and another person in prayer. Just like it was the priest's function to go to God on behalf of the people. It is your function to go to others, to go to God on behalf of others. Intercessory prayer, if you go to that next slide. The needs of others, you lift them up to God. That's what intercessory prayer. Now, you know, let's not confuse intercessory prayer with petitions. Because petitions are when you go to God on behalf of yourself. That's petition, right? You go to God on behalf of your job, on behalf of your finances, on behalf of your health, on behalf of what he wants you to do. That's petition, that you are petitioning God, that you are going to God on behalf of yourself. And, you know, we have no problem doing that. You know, we for us to offer up prayers of petition, you know, we can deal with that. But intercession means that you lift the needs of others up to God. I like this next one, if you go to that next slide. Intercession, is there another one before that? Yeah, there you go. Intercessory prayer might be defined as loving our neighbor on our knees. Loving our neighbor on our knees. Intercession reflects the character of God. That when you are interceding, somebody, you know, people want to be like God. You know, people want to be God. Right? Everybody, you know, you get these guys, Jim Jones and David Koresh and all these guys. They want to be God, right? Well, there's a sense that we should all want to be like God. We can't be God, but we sure should want to be like God. And when we are interceding for others, we are reflecting the character of God. Why does God want us to pray for others? Because intercessory prayer reflects God's own character of outgoing love and mercy. God wants you to think like he does, and praying for others helps you to think beyond, or helps us to think beyond ourselves and grow in compassion for others. That whenever we intercede for another person, that we reflect the character of God. The sad situation is this, is that God looked for intercessors and found none. Would to God that that would not be the testimony of Bethany Baptist Church, that God would be looking for intercessors and find none. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, the scripture says, I look for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. This is a powerful word picture that Ezekiel gives us here. Because one of the first things in the Old Testament, when you establish a city, one of the first things that you would do is build a wall, right? That's the first thing. You know, you build a wall. That's why they had to deal with the walls of Jericho. That's why Israel, you know, they had a wall around Jerusalem. And why was that? For protection. But sometimes there would be a gap in the wall. And when there was a gap in the wall, that was the worst thing that could happen, because now the enemy has a place of accessibility and entrance. And the enemy can come in through the gap. And so until they repaired the wall, they would look for something. Oh, watch this now, watch this now. Until they repaired the wall, they needed somebody to stand in the gap. They needed somebody to stand in the gap. And so God draws that analogy of the wall being breached and the need for somebody to stand in the gap. And God says that I'm getting my people have rebelled. They have sinned. They have followed after idolatry. And I'm getting ready to bring judgment on them. But if there's somebody that will stand. If there's somebody that will stand on their behalf in mercy and cry out for them, God said, I will spare my people. And he said, I looked. He said, I searched and I found no one who would stand in the gap. I found no one who would intercede. You know, one of the things that the Lord is working at on my heart, and I've said this a couple times, but I know during the pandemic, we shut out a lot of stuff, especially where there was a lot of touching and there was a lot of close communication. And so one of the things that we stopped doing was having the altar call. And at some point, we're going to bring that back. And what I would like to see us do during that altar call is maybe during 1 week, let's focus on the sick and shut in. Another week, let's, like we did last week, let's focus on people who are mourning. We're getting ready to have a big initiative here at Bethany on the next gen. Maybe one Sunday we just come and we just intercede for the next generation. We intercede for our leaders. We intercede for our pastor. We intercede for those needs. And you know what? We got this sanctuary, right? This new sanctuary. And I'm talking about, man, and I've said this before we got here, and I'm determined that we're going to continue to do it. We want the glory of the Lord to fill this place. And one of the ways that God's glory will fill this place is for us to be a bunch of intercessors on behalf. See, there's people out there that are not going to come in here. And the only way that they're going to be touched is that the power of God begins to work in their lives and to reach them. And so God said, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, and I couldn't find anybody. Would to God that that would not be the testimony here at Bethany Baptist Church. We have a prayer ministry here that people call and they give their prayer requests. And then we send them out and, 20, 30 people are interceding for that. And wouldn't it be powerful? And, you might not be a part of that prayer ministry, but wouldn't it be powerful if we had a church filled with intercessors? People who would just stand in the gap for others. And maybe this might motivate us to see what Samuel saw, that when there was a lack of intercession, Samuel saw that as a sin. Notice what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Wow. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. There's people that need someone to stand in the gap for them. I shared with you last week how that in the mornings when my wife and I pray,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Altar of Incense, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Altar of Incense, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Altar of Incense, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Altar of Incense, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you anchored in Jesus, can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.